Devastation due to backsliding. Joel chapter 1 verses 8 through 20. Exhortation. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Joel 1 verse 8. Joel 1:5 calls the drinkers of wine to awake from their intoxication and weep and howl because of their worldliness. The people became engrossed with business and intoxicated with pleasure, which wine drinking figures. Paul wrote, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Joel here in 4 verses portrays the deplorable condition in Palestine. Joel 1 verse 12 is a summing up, and with Joel 1 verse 16 gives the cause thereof. The vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Joel 1 verse 12. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. Joel 1 verse 16. The land lost its productiveness. The commodities of corn, wine, and oil failed, and the trees ceased to bear fruit, all because joy is withered from the inhabitants. Do you marvel that John wrote centuries afterward, saying, "Beloved, I wish or pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth"? 3 John verse 2. In Joel's days, that sad withering began. It rapidly increased till Jesus came, when there were but a few who looked for the Messiah. Individuals received him and the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the Jews as a nation rejected both. Application. Has not Joel painted a picture of Christendom? What confronts us today? What means the fight between modernism and fundamentalism? Why are some ministers crying for an old-time revival? Ah, joy is withered from Christendom. Joy and gladness are cut off from the churches. The joy of the Lord is your strength, cried Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full." John 15:11 and 17, verse 13. Over 40 years ago, the Holy Spirit visited the church, restoring the former power and joy of the Lord, but she refused him. When the spirit of joy sought entrance into pulpits and pews, the preachers and people said, "No, we do not want fanaticism and wildfire." They rejected the joy bringer and the joy sustainer. No Baptist congregations today would allow Spurgeon to leap 2 feet high with the joy of the Lord. Neither do they have constant revival of real new births as he did. Beloved saints, let us take warning. Welcome the dear Holy Spirit in his unlimited Pentecostal fullness. Fear not to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Let the gifts of the Spirit be restored and displayed for God's glory. Having received the Spirit, keep yielding to him and learn the word so as to know how to be used by him and how to walk in the Spirit. If you want to lose out, be defeated, and prove a failure, just yield to sadness. When grief comes, give up to it and hang your harp on the willow. Quit singing about Jesus, quit praising the Lord. Cool off your ardor for the truth, and Satan will soon overpower you. If you seek to be nice and religiously polite and not so hilarious as formerly, your faith will weaken, your victory will subside, your physical frame will grow weary, and the gate will presently be open for sickness to walk in and take possession. Oh, let not the joy wither. Keep the joy bells pealing. Maintain the shout of triumph. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and the God of glory will never fail you, but he will thunder against your enemies and fight your battles for you. My testimony. I thank God over and over that he made me thirsty for the Holy Spirit. Despite the discouraging words of friends, he held the water trough before me until my thirst was quenched and my longing heart was satisfied. My mind was hot with thinking and study, my body was weary with ardent toil, and I yearned and cried for the rivers of living water. When I let go, threw up my hands in entire abandonment to God, threw off my preacher robe and bid goodbye to sectarianism, refusing to be bound by men and things, and let the Lord have absolute sway in my life, Then he poured in unspeakable joy and gladness, which has never leaked out to this day. Over 40 years of joy and glory, too, has been my daily portion. Hallelujah. If he could, the devil would put a quietus on me as he has on some others. He would make me still, proper, nice, and mechanical if he could, for I am naturally studious, deliberate, and exact, but I refuse satanic opiates and cooling parlors. By God's grace, I purpose to live in the torrid zone of Pentecostal power till Jesus comes. Praise the Lord! He has brought me on victoriously and gladdened my heart wonderfully. He has shown me not only by the word, but by observation and experience, what it means to be filled practically with the Spirit, and to keep filling with the Spirit and keep yielding to the truth. He has made me to see the danger of compromise, especially with the religious world, and be willing to sit alone with Jeremiah, filled with indignation. Jeremiah 15, verse 17. My fervent desire and purpose is to be among the living creatures whom Ezekiel said ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning, and from whose midst other linen-clothed messengers may fill their hands with coals of fire and scatter them near and far for God's glory. God forbid that he should have to say, "Girt yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar." Joel 1, verse 13. We will never hear such a dismal exhortation if we go every one straight forward whither the Spirit goes, and turn not when we go, but the glory of the Lord will be lifted up and stand over the threshold of his house, and the court will be filled with the brightness of his glory. Ezekiel 1 verses 12 and 13, and 10 verse 1 and 4. Prophetic and pathetic. The meat offering and drink offering is cut off from the house of God. The priests, the Lord's ministers mourn. Joel 1, verse 9 and 13. Evidently, these words refer to the future from Joel's day. The offerings were still kept up in his time. Hosea said, "Israel shall abide for many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice." Hosea 3, verse 4. For 2,520 years, they have been deprived of a king, having rejected Jesus when he offered to return and reign. Acts 7, verse 55 and 56. The offerings were discontinued, no doubt, from the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. These words about the offerings being cut off will have their final and most important fulfillment during the 7 years of coming judgment. Joel 1, verse 15 indicates this clearly, which says, "The day of the Lord is at hand." That is, the day of the Lord will be here as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come, when the priests and ministers will lament, mourn, weep, and howl on account of the cutting off of the offerings and sacrifices. Before that period of judgment will begin, the Jews will be at home in their land and will resume the sacrifices, because the real priest, Jesus Christ, will be due to be received, but they will not yet receive him. Hence they will return to the shadows and accept overtures from one who will prove false to them, and cause the daily sacrifice to cease, and also the meal offering. Daniel 8, verse 11 and 9:27. They will then weep and mourn, as Joel foretells. Devastation described, Joel chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Joel 2, verse 1. The first division of the book was covered previously. Let us note several preliminaries before studying this portion. The name Joel means Jehovah is God or might. There is real significance in this and in the meaning of his father's name. Time. When Joel's prophecy will be fulfilled, the Antichrist will be in power and the world will be wondering after him, because he will show off himself as God. He will deceive the people and make them believe that he is the Son of God, the anointed of God, and the millennial king. But the truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ will be God, and he will be the Jehovah for that day. In Isaiah 9:6, we read of the entire career of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning of his first advent to the end of his second advent. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah 9:6. This speaks of Jesus' first advent, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These last statements, of course, refer to his second advent, which will cover a period of 1,000 years. Pethuel, the father of Joel, means persuaded or enlarged of God. Israel will be persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he will be the persuader. As a result of his persuasion, they will be enlarged. We will read of their enlargement later in this prophecy.